It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable Dr. Roger Marshall, who represents the big First District of Kansas, a member of the House Ag Committee, and great to see you.
Tony, thanks for having me on your All Ag Day radio station. Glad to share some news from Washington with our agriculture producers today.
By the way, you're on the House Agriculture Committee. How has your experience been on that committee?
It's been tremendous. That's why I came here. The people of Kansas elected me to represent agriculture, the biggest ag producing district in the country. Chairman Conaway has been a treat to work with. All of his staff has been a treat to work with. It's been fun to get to know the members on the Ag Committee, both sides of the aisle, and think really for the most part we've had a great experience.
So when we talk about that congressional district, we're also talking about a district that's in drought. And we're looking at this point, moderate to severe drought across a good portion of that district in the Southwest. That's got to be concerning.
You know, absolutely. You know, it just seems that farmers can't win. I spoke with President Trump this Sunday. He gave me a call, Saturday it was, and just commented how farmers have had it so bad for 20 years. And certainly this drought doesn't help us any at all. As I think about Southwest Kansas down around Elkhart, there's still parts of it with an exceptional drought, the one of the worst we've ever seen. Probably the big difference between this drought and the one of a couple years ago is the wheat's not coming out of it. You know, this drought's persisted, and I know when I was been back in the district the past 4 weeks, lots of farmers were trying to decide if it was time to plow it under and plant Milo or what they were going to do. So a little bit of relief in the south central area. So where I live in Great Bend and south of there, there's been some improvement. But southwest Kansas still looks horrible, and the central part of the state has some bad drought conditions still as well.
So when we talk about drought, and that's something a producer really, I mean, if you've got irrigation, you can water your way through some. But does it just show us the importance of having a safety net when it comes to ag and i.e. farm bill?
You know, exactly. And that's why I always describe the farm bill, the most important component of that. The backbone of every farm bill is crop insurance. And that's why we fought so hard to make sure it was fully funded. Very proud that this farm bill indeed does this. What I try to explain to members in Congress who weren't raised on a farm or don't have much agriculture policy in their backyard is that crop insurance allows a farmer to plant next year's crop. The crop insurance doesn't protect just the producer, but it protects that bank that's downtown. It protects the downtown businesses across my district. It means way more than just help for the farmer.
Obviously, the farm bill in the House is somewhat tied up at this point, and it appears as though maybe immigration has worked its way. Obviously, that's immigration, the border security. You could throw guest worker in there. Right. It's all kind of tied together.
It is, and I think that this is a wonderful opportunity for a win-win for agriculture. We had the farm bill on the House floor a couple weeks ago, and it got tied down because there's a group of Congress members that want to pass immigration first, or at least vote on an immigration bill. And I'm happy to do that. The biggest problem for immigration in my district is an agriculture guest worker visa. We have 6,000 DACA recipients across the state. Certainly, we want to do what's right by them. But more important to me is the agriculture industry and the agriculture work visa. Certainly, every immigration bill, we always start talking about national security and border security. That's a priority as well. I very much look forward to standing beside the president and his pillars on immigration, that he wants to end chain migration, that he wants to end the lottery as well. That's good with me. Very proud of the Goodlatte bill that we've been working on. So hopefully we'll have a vote next week on an immigration bill that solves a lot of these problems. My emphasis will be to solve the agriculture guest worker visa issue, and that will in turn give us an opportunity to vote on the farm bill, and I think we'll have the votes to get her done then.
If you don't mind, I'm going to roll back into the farm bill for just a moment. We've heard from the chairman that as soon as a vote on immigration could happen, we'd tee the farm bill up right after that. When you look at the farm bill, are you happy with what the House Ag Committee was able to bring to the floor?
More than happy. I'm darn proud of what we did. This is something we've had a day-to-day input on since the day I got to Congress here. We're very fortunate that the Chairman Conaway allowed our office to have access to the Ag Committee. I think we worked very hard on everything from crop insurance. What I'm mostly proud about is that this whole bill is budget neutral. When we got here, there was talk there was going to be a 20 or 30% cut to the farm bill. So to fully fund crop insurance, to fully fund the Title I funding and the safety net, let alone we've done some great work on the nutrition side and CRP, all the conservation. So I'm very, very proud of this bill. We had 10 listening sessions across my district. I've talked to thousands of agriculture producers, and I'm not sure what we didn't get that they asked us to get done. I couldn't think of one thing here. There may be a little tweak here and there, but for the most part, I'd say we got what agriculture producers wanted in this farm bill, and for all practical circumstances, I would say that our own producers helped write this farm bill.
Now, one interesting point about Kansas is you're kind of turning into a cotton state. With the number of acres that are bouncing up in the state, obviously cotton farmers have got something in a farm bill as well. So,
you know, absolutely. And I think, you know, I would say that what I just would say about Kansas producers, all agriculture producers, is they're businessmen and women. And as they've seen the price of cotton go up, and as they've talked about, you know, less water opportunities, it's a crop that can grow, take the hot heat, the drier climate. So we're seeing more production there. And I think we've done a great job of helping fix some of the cotton problems that have been described to us, and actually fixed quite a few of the cotton problems even before the farm bill. So I think we've tried to take a look at everybody's issues across the country and come together for agricultural solutions.
You mentioned the price of cotton, which takes us into the trade topic, I think, because we see China now back into the market for cotton. They obviously are in the market for soybeans and corn and sorghum, things we all find in your district. How important is trade?
Yeah, there's nothing more important to my district right now than trade. I actually spend more time of my personal time working on trade than I do the farm bill. I have a call today with the Canadian embassy, met with the Mexican foreign minister last week, the Cuban foreign minister last week as well. And NAFTA, I'm just going to go front and center. NAFTA is vitally important to agriculture. Our agriculture exports went up a multiple of 6 since NAFTA was here. And that's what I'm trying so hard to work with the president. And that was what our phone call was about this Saturday, was NAFTA and trade, just trying to relay to him how important it is. And he just told me to over and over to please tell all the agriculture producers that, number one, he loves them, and that he understands that for 20 years the farmers got a short end of the stick, and he aims to make things better. So very much look forward to getting a deal done with Mexico. Mexico is very motivated, and they want to get a deal done. Canada's been dragging their feet, to be honest, over some tariff issues as well as intellectual property issues. You know, jump to China just for a second. Certainly very important to agriculture, especially our sorghum products in China right now. But unfortunately, China is stealing $600 billion a year of intellectual property from us. And to be honest, they don't stand beside their current trade agreements. So we have to fix some issues with China. But, you know, the president is just convinced once we get those fixed that he thinks we could export another $7 to $12 billion of agriculture products to China and would make us their favorite country to come from. So the president has our best interests at heart. Sometimes it seems unconventional. It's been a roller coaster ride. But certainly I have confidence in this president administration that we can get better trade agreements done.
Is it safe to throw this analogy out as a physician that sometimes in order to fix what ails us, we have to take something with some side effects? Is that a good analogy when we're talking about trade? In other words, maybe don't panic yet?
I think that's true. I think that, you know, sometimes you take chemotherapy for a cancer, certainly you have some very, very sick days. I believe that there's going to still be some roller coaster rides, and until Canada and China are serious about fair trade, it's going to be hard to get an agreement done with them. But I think long term, over the next 5 to 30 years of a farmer's career, agriculture, cattle, pork, all those industries that we have to get some of these issues taken care of. I'm tired of sending ships full of sorghum over to China and get it halfway there, and then they decide they don't want it after all, or a ship full of wheat and they disagree with some of the grading. No one does a better job of grading commodities than we do before they leave, and their safety. So there's a lot of issues we do have with China. Just this whole concept of them stealing our intellectual property, we have to fix those as well. Like, the ethanol industry, for example. I was in China a year ago. China had put a 90% tariff on ethanol and dry distillers grain. And just simply by sitting down with them, asking why are you doing this? And they had no explanation. The next month, the president was there and they dropped the tariff. So we need to hold them accountable as well. I'm sorry that that's such a roller coaster ride, but I still have faith that this president has our best intention at heart and we can get the job done.
Obviously, for constituents in your district and districts that are well represented by ag, you know the story. You're already working. But maybe for those who are in districts where they're not represented by somebody who understands ag, what suggestion, what advice would you give to those producers as far as getting involved and having their voice heard?
I think just keep telling our own story. Tell our story over and over again. I'm thinking of sitting down in Ellsworth, Kansas with a group of people that were members of Farm Bureau. Met a young veterinarian, and her, this lady's passion for animals was just incredible. And I think that sometimes we get a different rap from the national media. Nobody loves our environment, loves our animals more than we do. So let's keep sharing that story that we want to leave our land better than we found it. We treat our animals with the most respect. So please tell your story over and over, whether it's through your own social media, through your national associations as well. Let's keep reaching across the road into the communities, being involved. I think of a Congress member from inner city of Philadelphia has the largest Future Farmers of America group in the country. And, what a great place is to try to share with people from the inner city, hey, this food doesn't start out at a grocery store. It actually starts out with a producer. So let's try to move our 4-H's and our Future Farmers America to the communities. Let's try to go to those inner cities and share our story. Have your annual ag days where you had the city kids come out and milk a cow and sit on a tractor there's some really cool UAV things, unmanned vehicles that we're doing in the agriculture as well. Share that agriculture is a business now. Certainly we enjoy having that soil go through our hands and watch that crop come up and harvest it, but more and more agriculture is a business. Let's keep telling our story. Share it whenever you can.
It's a pleasure to see you. Thanks for your work. We wish you the best.
Tony, thanks for having me. You've enjoyed it as well.
Again, it's the Honorable Representative Dr. Roger Marshall, represents Kansas, member of the House Agriculture Committee. And this is the Agribusiness Report.